Welcome to the March 7th edition of the Zuch and Wild podcast. I'm Tony Gonzalez, but no. Welcome to the March 7th version of the Zuch and Wild podcast. Just got back from Boise last week or this week. Zuch, it was great to see you up there. But yeah, it was fun. And it was good weather in Boise this
week. It was. It's starting to cool off again now. We had the fake spring that comes but once a year where you get all excited and then put some shorts on maybe. And then the next day, next few days you go outside and you're like, all right, well, if it's back to frost on my window. So,
oh yeah, no, I remember that when I was living in Boise, the fake spring every year will get you. And that's what like everyone I was staying with was saying, but it was good to see a lot of the Boise guys last weekend, but we are back because the college football and the sports cycle never ends. We got a great show. We're going to talk about some bracketology breakdown. Actually, finally getting in. It's starting to become that time of year, Zuch. It's March.
Yeah,
John Ross is March.
A week from usually what? It's about Wednesday of. So, like next Wednesday, I think, is when the. Not that the other conference tournaments don't matter. They do. And you get some like random winners in those. But starting this weekend or so, we'll start really. It'll be heavy into the conference tournaments. And that's when you kind of. That's when you're sitting on pins and needles if you're in that
bubble
last
teams,
four
no.
in, last four you're buys, right. Whatever it is, first
it's
four
interesting.
Out.
Yeah, and before we get into this bracketology, Zuch, I have amazing news for our listeners. Not only just our listeners, but for all listeners across Settle Down. We are doing, again, for the second year in a row, the Settle Down Bracket Challenge. We are going to give away $100. You heard me. That's 100. This economy with the tariffs, that's going to come in handy. And guess what? Guess what, Zuch? It is free to sign up. This is free. But I'm going to tell you guys how you can win $100 doing the Settle Down Bracket Challenge. Number one, you're going to follow Settle Down Media on Instagram. The actual Instagram account, follow Settle Down Media on Instagram. If you've already following the account, you already have step one complete. Step two, when the tournament opens up, we will have a ESPN Tournament Challenge bracket group. It's going to be anyone can join. You are going to join that group, make your picks, and you will be in the group with all of us, all of you guys from the other Settle Down, Takeover Sports, Good Old Hockey Podcast. They'll all be in there. The third thing, after you join our ESPN Tournament Challenge group, you are going to fill out a Google form, a separate Google form that will be in our bio posted. And this will allow us to contact you if you win. It'll ask you some questions like your ESPN Tournament Challenge username, which is key. So we know who's ranking, and your email. It will ask you for your email so we can contact you if we won. Last year, we had a guy who none of us had ever met before. He was like this kid, and he just was listening to some of the podcasts, and I think he was mainly just watching our clips, but he signed up, and he won, and it was awesome. But Zuch, we're giving away $100 again. I cannot be more excited about this.
We will, and also, this is going to be my little thing that I add. Since the majority of the people from Settle Down will be in Vegas for that opening weekend of the tournament, if you have your picks in, have them in Wednesday night, actually. That's after the last couple, first four games, a 16 win doesn't matter. So if you're like really caught up on who wins the Indiana-Arkansas first four game, it's like, oh, you're one of those guys. Like, well, if Indiana wins, I'm picking them to beat whoever the sixth seed is that they'll play. That's fine. But I'm going to do a random drawing of one of the people who is in it, not a Settle Down member, none of that, just a random person who's a follower or whatever. And I'm going to take $50 before those games start. I think they'll start about 9 or so Pacific time. You're more in tune with Pacific time than I am, but I want to say
yes.
About like 9:11 will be when the
it usually starts at 9 on Pacific time in Vegas.
Perfect. I'll take $50 and I'll play you a hand of blackjack. My own money. If you win, you get an extra $50. If you lose, you don't lose anything. I'm still trying to figure out how to do the drawing. I'm thinking that since some of the boys will be over Wednesday night, what I'll do is just write down all the names of the people who are in, throw them in a hat, and like when we get to the airport or something that morning, just pick a name out of the hat.
Yeah, or do like a number, random, like a random number generator, and wow. Folks, yeah. That is like, and you know, we had like, I think we were thanking you guys for like a month after we did this last year, because we had a great turnout, but wow, that is, and you don't even have to win to get that. That is just a drawing for signing up. So to reiterate,
and also if I can get in contact with you, if we can get in contact with you, if you want a message, like our main account on Settle Down or whatever it is, it doesn't have to be blackjack. I'll do roulette for you. It would be kind of hard to do. It needs to be a game like that, like one that you
could say, hey, I want $50 like on black.
Yep. So roulette, blackjack, it's kind of hard to do that on craps or anything like that. But yeah, if you want it on roulette or blackjack, just message the account. We'll be down there. We'll take a video of me putting that money down there for you. And you could come out of this with $200 if you
You win the drawing. You could win the random drawing and win the tournament. Wow, that is awesome news. So to reiterate, to sum it up, number one, follow Settle Down on Instagram. Number two, when the Tournament Challenge app goes live, join Settle Down's Tournament Challenge group and make your picks. Number three, this is the most crucial step. Fill out the separate Google form that will be posted soon in the coming weeks. Fill that out with your email and your ESPN username and information that we can contact you if we win. Number four, wait and have fun. Zuch is doing that random drawing just for signing up. And of course, the winner, if you win, we'll get $100 Venmo. If you live in Boise, I can do cash too, but it'll probably be a Venmo or money transfer or something. But we are just so stoked. More information will be coming soon. We'll get a graphic. Tell your friends, tell your family. It is free to sign up, and you have the chance to win money, Zuch. Who doesn't like that?
Everyone should like it. Like I said, it'll be a it costs you nothing but 10 or 15 minutes to fill out your bracket. You don't even have to be someone who looks at all the matchups super closely, because I feel like those people never win. Me being one of them that does all that. And then I'm like, oh, sweet. We're at 3:05 on Thursday, and three teams I picked in the Elite Eight are already out. So that's just.
And you already know, maybe, and there'll be more jokes coming as we get closer to the big Settle Down Bachelor Extravaganza. But let's just say there may be a certain member of the Settle Down media who has the balls to pick every single upset. Not.
There's a member who might have the top eight seeds in that order as their elite eight. And then there is a member who will have a 13, a 14, a 15, and a 16 in their elite eight. And will say Cooper Flagg is not that good after watching him for maybe the first time he watches him will be that Thursday game that took place.
Yes.
Not naming names, though.
No, not naming names at all. But let's finally break down this bracketology, man. I'm super excited for this. So this is the bracketology from Joe Lunardi at the time of this recording, so March 5th. And I'm going to pull it up here for you guys. Can you guys see this? Give me one sec. So I'm going to add you. I'm going to present.
And for all the Lunardi haters, this is basically the teams who have a real shot at being. Like, there will be the upsets and stuff, but
yeah.
Everyone pretty much has the same teams around the bubble, so don't freak out on us and say he sucks at bracketology. He's not the easiest to pull his up. So
it is the easiest to pull his up. And, you know, I just want to see, Zuch, I want to get your opinions on, obviously, I don't know if you can see that, Zuch, but the last team in is our Boise State Broncos. First team out is Oklahoma. I kind of want to talk to you, maybe not just about those teams, but what are some bubble teams? It can be Boise State and it could be Oklahoma, but do you have a bubble team to like watch out for in the tournament? What is that team for you that's kind of like maybe or maybe not what will make it?
Honestly, my biggest one out of all those teams, all those like kind of bubble ish teams is probably Indiana. They like,
really,
yeah. So let me look exactly. Pull this up. I had it up and then I accidentally clicked it off. So like, if you go to different like mock drafts and stuff like that, which it's also crazy looking at mock drafts at Rutgers. Rutgers has two of the top three, and like, I don't even think they're close.
No, they're not. This is like the most disappointing Rutgers season like ever, I think, for basketball. Like, they had that one kid who they paid a bunch of money to, oh my gosh, I forget his name because Rutgers has just been irrelevant, but I do know Rutgers has been failing epically this year.
That seems to be the Rutgers way. Maybe I was on a really old one, but I swear I saw that they had some like pretty good draft selection. Like, they had a couple guys who were, of course, I didn't have pulled up. Anyway, Indiana's my team. I know I look like a complete and total moron right now, but
I have a funny scenario about Indiana. I'm sorry. I have a funny scenario. What if they go on a run and then Mike Woodson goes, I don't know, I'm actually kind of feeling better. Maybe I will come back.
Well, that's always the issue that you like. Specifically, you know, I would get if Indiana was like had 7 wins at that time. They were in the middle of a bad losing streak, so I get wanting to go a different direction. He's been disappointing there. But you could wait till the end of the season to announce all that kind of stuff, like until you're out and be like, all right, he's done. But now you're in that scenario to where, I mean, they haven't been, like, they had, give me 1 second, because they were in the middle of that bad streak. It was bad, bad. I think they lost, like, 8 of 10 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, you know, they're 9 and 10 in the Big Ten, which is not terrible. Like, 18 and 12, 9 and 10 in the Big Ten. The worst case, they play Ohio State next. But, yeah, they had lost 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They were 2-8 in a 10-game stretch. In a 10-game stretch. But, you know, I mean, and some of them were bad losses. I'll say that. But they had a 3-point loss in there, or a 4-point loss in there, or a 1-point loss. 5 points, a few blowouts. So they're an interesting one because, like, they were at one point, like, in the top 10, right?
Mm-hmm. They were. At, like, the beginning-ish of the year, but they just went on a spell of just losing, and then you saw, oh, my gosh, who was the coach? Who's the coach at Iowa State? I think they started getting enamored with him going to Indiana.
He used to be at UNLV. I cannot think of his name. It'll come to me.
No, but you know the guy I'm thinking of. And Indiana is an interesting school. You know, the blue bloods in basketball, it truly is. Like, everyone jokes about, like, oh, the blue bloods in football. Like, basketball, I think. Like, in football, I do like seeing, like, the little guy and, like, the weird teams kind of go on their runs. The teams like Miami's disrupting, the Oregon's disrupting, Boise State's disrupting. Basketball, to me, like, it truly is better when just, like, the classic teams are doing well. Yes, I love upsets. I love upsets, like, nothing like Nova, North Carolina, or like, Kentucky, UCLA. Like, it's just cinema.
Even, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago now, that Coach K was in his last season and Duke played North Carolina in the Final Four. Like, you don't, yeah, it's cool when, like, FAU and San Diego State are in the Final Four too, but it's not cooler than a Duke UNC you don't get bigger than that.
Can I tell you my perfect Final Four, like, building? You have one Cinderella. You have one, like, really good team that's played, like, really, really well this year that only, like, true college basketball heads know, but it's not, like, a powerhouse. So I'm talking, like, this is a great example here at number two, like, an Iowa State. So, like, you have a Cinderella, you have an Iowa State, and then you just have two blue bloods. Like, give me, like, Kansas and UCLA. Like, that's the best version of, like, a Final Four to me.
And they pan out to where it's in way too big of a – because it's in a football arena and you see people.
But it's in a great one this year.
Where is it?
Alamo Dome.
Oh, okay.
San Antonio, great basketball, big arena. But you know what the team that stood out to me, Zuch, and it's not a bubble team. And I want the country to know this. If anything gets clipped from this show, I want to put the country on, Zuch. Where are they? Right here. UC San Diego. Zuch, they're winning. No, I'm not even joking.
I looked them up the other day. They are like 28-1, aren't they?
They've only lost two games all year. They are an 11 seed for a Big West school. Usually Big West is a 12, 13, 14 school. UC San Diego's killing teams. Now, the issue is they're going to have to be an automatic qualifier. That's why technically I use a Liberty in naming them a bubble team. But Zuch, over 75% of their roster shoots over 31% on threes.
There you go.
I want you
to let Cody Boyson find that out. He will have them in the national title.
Oh, and here's another one, Zuch. They do not have a 7-footer on the team. Do not have a 7. They play like the one white team from like high school that like their center's like 6'5" and like they just shoot you out of the gym. They are literally that team. And I could see this team just America falling in love with. I think they've only been a Division I school for like less than I've been alive, and I'm in my 20s. So it's a relatively like new program, like at the Division I level. I've seen their and if they can go on a little run, UC San Diego, man, great part of the country, beautiful campus,
built. And they're a good team to pick to a Sweet 16 ish, maybe like that's about the maybe Elite Eight, but they're a good team to pick because they're like, okay, you know what, they can be, they're great at shooting threes. And you just, like, you ride that for a couple games, and then you're like, all right, this is where I have them lose, because there will come the game that the size is really an issue for them, and they, at halftime, are like, they'll hit, like, the first three of the game, and you're like, oh, yeah, they're hot again. Here we go. And then by halftime, they'll be, like, 3 of 19 on threes. And you'll be like, all right, well, this is, you know, this is how it ends for them. You know, they're going to go down doing what got them here.
Yes.
So like I love that pick. I love they're not the Gauchos. That's UC Santa Barbara.
They're the Tritons. Come on, what, you don't know your Big West basketball? that's the Big West right there. The Big West, one of the most underrated conferences. And by underrated, I just mean it's just really fun to watch. You know, the quality's not as great, but you know, it's just fun ball to watch, man. LMU's in the Big West. No, LMU's in the WCC now. So
who is the
This is what I love about college basketball. This is probably the first time I've talked about the Big West with someone in 10 months.
Who is the Dirtbags? Because we were in I was in Vegas last year for the Mountain West tournament, and somebody was like, had a shirt that said Dirtbags on it, and I was like,
so the Dirtbags is Long Beach State. Okay. But it's one of those weird ones where Long Beach State, I think they have a different mascot for all their other teams, and the Dirtbags only refers to, I think, like the baseball and softball program.
Okay.
So, like, that's why. But if you're a Long Beach State fan, like, Dirtbags are so much cooler.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of good baseball. It's a great nickname. There is nothing more funny than conference tournaments in Las Vegas where you just have people from the most random schools. Like,
and that's kind of what I wanted to. The last thing I'll say before I talk to you about this is, Zuch, I'm going to be back in on Houston for the fourth year in a row, and it's going to be so, like, you're going to have to pry Houston from me. Zach Voisin already said he'd kick my ass in Vegas if he finds out I chose Houston to win it all again. So, well, let's just say we'll see. But, yeah, I kind of wanted to, like, the last thing about this bracketology thing is I love this time of year. And, like, conference tournaments, like, all of this. Like you said, just, like, these random groups of people, like, interacting with each other. It's just incredible. I've never been to a conference championship tournament. So I'm excited to kind of go to Vegas just for the whole March Madness experience. But I kind of want to get your, like, kind of, like, your, like, thoughts of someone who's been probably in, like, the mecca of conference tournament play, which is Vegas, because there's three of them.
Yeah, so it, to me, is a lot of fun because, you know, if you go to a football game, the fans from who you're playing and fans from your school or whatever. That's all you really see. There's no really there's not really tournaments in football, and there are definitely not games in the same location. Like, you know, like the World Cup, if you go to the World Cup, you are like, oh, these people are cheering, like they're from Sweden, or these people are Brits, or these people are Egyptians, whatever it is. It's cool to see this with college basketball because you like see like real fans. And sometimes I think people get caught up in like Twitter or Instagram and are like, oh my God, their fan base sucks, blah, blah. And you're like, you meet other fans and you're like, they don't really like, most of their fans don't really suck. They're like, especially coming from like schools like ours, like we kind of go with knowing in, like we both know Boise State's not winning the national championship in basketball, right? Like it's more of a like, that's what's kind of cool to me about the NCAA tournament is like, you have like that hope. You're like, oh, let's like, hopefully we win today. And like, then we get excitement again for 48 hours or so. And then somehow if you win that one, you have like the 5 days until you play on Thursday again that you're excited for. And you just see, like I said, I've been there for the Mountain West tournament. And usually it used to be the Pac-12 was there, the West Coast.
And the Mountain and the West. All
there. So you like, I would, you know, you go and sit and play blackjack or something one morning, and there's like Arizona fans sitting next to you, or
you've talked about the Arizona bros violently vaping.
Yes, and you just like you start talking to them, and you're like, oh, like yeah, they're just, you know, I don't know. I kind of look at it as like, oh, if I had gone to this school, like. This guy could have been one of my friends. Because they're there with guys they went to school with.
Yeah.
At the school and all that. And you're like, oh, this guy, like, maybe this guy would have been my friend. Or, like, I would have, like, at least I would have known people like this guy who, you know, knows. Like, Arizona's a little bit different because they have a pretty good basketball history. But, like, you just see people and are like, oh, that's cool. Like, I met some good friends that went to San Diego State at that tournament. Like, I just saw him at one of the, we were playing him in the Mountain West tournament one year, and I saw him and they all had like the same shirt on. And I always kind of thought San Diego State student section was funny. Just, I thought the stuff they said was funny. And the fact that they were usually like so much better than everyone else had consistent success. Really. I just found that funny. And like, they ended up coming to some Boise State games and went downtown with them, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, you get to meet like people from different schools who have like similar interests to you, and you realize, oh, it's not like the 60-year-old man on Twitter who
that you're beefing with, or
yeah, that you like, no, tweets in, you're like, why am I even doing this?
No, that's why I like it too. And you know, college basketball, it's especially like in our conference, my home conference, the Mountain West, it is like football takes such a higher priority. Mm-hmm. In a lot of these conferences, where like basketball, like you said, it feels a little more like communal. Like we're just like, hey, we're just here, and like we're having a good time. And like a lot of the good teams, like you can kind of tell where you are in terms of like making the tournament before your conference tournament. So you can go into it like being like, man, we only need to win two games maybe, and then we're a lock. So you can be a little bit stress free. So that's also what I like about conference tournament weekend. So I'm excited for Vegas, and selfishly Boise State pulling out of your ass here at the end, man. I want to wear the Peter on the strip. I want to wear the Peter on the strip.
I'm hoping to God. Something tells me we're going to be really sweating next Sunday when they're doing just the horribleness of.
I have a theory where Boise State's going to lose in the conference tournament semifinals really close and like play a really good game. That's exactly what's going to happen.
We're going to have, yeah, so 2 days of just like refreshing bracketology and being like, oh God, like what is the committee? Is the committee going to look at this BPI or whatever 500 different metrics they use to pick someone and not choose? It is a little sketchy with BSU because I thought we were pretty safely in last year, and then we have, and it, I'm sorry, I love BSU, but the reaction video of the team in the Stuckle Sky Center when they're like, oh, and playing Colorado, Boise State, like the 15 seconds of shock and then like random guy clapping. It was fun. It was annoying. It was annoying that we got kind of done dirty in a way. Like, we were still like 11 loss mid-major. So I don't personally think we got done that completely dirty. But it was – it's – college basketball is just – like, it's the whole thing is funny. You see the coaches a lot more, and, like, you see Bruce Pearl go to, like, Gatorade Red, like, 6 minutes into the game. It's just – you have, like, the random – like, that dude, whoever – Oakland last year. I can't
– yeah, Golkey.
Spencer Golkey just goes off and, like – yeah, Jack Golkey. Just goes off. So that's what makes it fun. It's like you don't, because there's the difference between, that's like, I guess the last thing I'll say on it is like when someone's good on a mid-major team in football and that mid-major team is ranked, you usually know who, like everyone, and like it's an extreme case, I guess, because he was a Heisman contender, but like everyone knows who Ashton Gentry is, right? Like they were like, oh, this guy's like really good, that kind of thing. There's so many college basketball schools, and there's still not enough TV networks to cover them all. Like, you have the two or three ESPN channels, you got the couple Fox Sports, and you have CBS Sports, and then you have your Fox, CBS. I think ABC puts games on every so often. But a lot of these games are on ESPN Plus, and, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to put on a Oakland versus Michigan Tech game on ESPN Plus, but like the guys become like kind of legends in the tournament that they don't even know exist until the tournament. So that's what to me makes it fun. A lot of people go to there's 68 teams, and that's a lot of thousands of people have gone to all those schools. So, you know, I've seen Harvard. I've met Harvard fans before. But one of the funniest interactions I've ever had in my life was seeing a Harvard fan at a bar doing math on like one of the sketch pads. That's like it's like a math pad. What are the math pads called? That it's like the graphing paper. He was doing his math in the bar before he went to the game. And I was like, respect, you're doing homework right now. There is no chance I would be doing any homework if BSU was playing. So it's a good time.
No, that's funny, though. We're really excited for college basketball, but got a little bit of college football before we move on to the weekly programming. And it's Zuch, everyone's canceling their spring game. Texas, USC, there's been a few others. They've just completely canned the spring game. Like, they're worried about tampering. I you know what I have to say about it? And I can't believe I'm saying this. I agree with Dabo Swinney saying it's BS. You canceling your spring games not going to stop tampering.
Yeah, that part I agree with. I personally don't care that they are canceling spring games. Had I, like, in school when I worked for the football team, I had to be at the spring game. We had to film stuff for it. I've not gone to a BSU spring game since I graduated. They're just not interesting to me, and I think it comes from kind of knowing what they are, like kind of seeing what they are, if that makes sense, and knowing, like, I think the outside fan thinks they're going to see a bunch of stuff in the spring game, and they're running a script. It's going to be a few periods of like some like different drills and stuff like that. And then they're going to do like a quasi game, but it's like, you're not really seeing too much because you really don't want to be going too hard in spring and have someone blow out their ACL or like injuries in football can happen when you're least expecting them. So you don't want somebody to get hurt in a spring game. Like spring practices and stuff are great and necessary for the teams themselves. I don't necessarily think like I'm missing anything, but if BSU were to cancel their spring game, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like,
that's here's what I think. Fine. I think what you're going to see teams start doing. I think canceling the spring game is like a little bit of an overreaction. You know, I think if you're worried about spring game people getting poached, if you're worried about people getting poached that late into your process, I don't think you ever truly had a good grasp of your roster. Like, if you're just like, oh my gosh, our starting wide receiver who I thought was fine is just going after the spring game, then you didn't really know that person. What I could see start happening, and if I was a coach, I would do, is I think you're gonna start seeing less and less like televised spring games. You're gonna see less and less like film of the spring game. I mean, shoot, even BSU, they don't let anyone else film the spring game except for themselves and some sideline reporters. And I wouldn't lie to you. I think that you're just gonna see that become more the standard across the country. I think the days of, you know, being able to watch, like, remember those 2 weeks in the spring where, like, you can watch Alabama play on ESPN2, their spring game, the Notre Dame, you know, they were all, like, spring game was always on, like, VS, like, the NBC, like, weird account. And I just think you're gonna start seeing less of that. But I do think it's a little bit of an overreaction to cancel spring games. And I think...
Yeah, people are going to... You're never going to get tampering out of. It's just not... First off, there's no way to... Unless, and this is where, like, I don't think people go from point A to point B. Like, let's say, for example, we were coaching, right? And there's someone we wanted, and I called him and was quote-unquote tampering. Like, oh, if you come here, we can offer you this, this, and this. And that player recorded that phone call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would I get in trouble? Yeah, we would. There might be some NCAA stuff that goes on. That player, though, like, you're crazy if you don't think other coaches would look at that and be like, why was he recording what a coach calling him, like, what they were saying? It would, not that they, you know, might not think, oh, like, he was just trying to prove he was tampering or something, but it would put a little bit of you'd like throw some blockers up, I think. At least I would personally. If I was a coach on his staff, I would be like, you know, sometimes you don't want stuff record, like, and I'm not saying that like they're like abusing kids or anything like that, but there's sometimes hard truths that you have to tell players that you don't want the public to hear. Really more so for the player, because it's not a, you know, nice situation, for lack of a better term. Like, you know, you have to tell guys, hey, like, you're not going to play here, so you should probably transfer. Like, we're going with this guy as our starter, stuff like that. So that's why I don't think it'll ever get, unless you announce, I guess maybe if you announce something, it was like, oh, you're suspended for a year if you get caught tampering. But then you have to define, you know,
what it is.
What is tampering? A player calling another player and being like, hey, like, you should come here. Like, the coach said we need a receiver.
Can I call a player's brother? Like, right. Be like, hey, you know, we got a really good school. I'm just telling you this, not because he's related to you and you could possibly relay information. But no, I agree. And, you know, it's the reason why schools have closed practices. It's the reason why schools, you know, they only open up the media sometimes to like the beginning of practice, and then when they do team drills, they kick everyone out.
And there's, you know, there's also multiple, like, I understand that there's a scrimmage in spring. There's also usually a couple scrimmages in fall that are way more mm-hmm. important. Like, if a guy got injured at the end of last season, he's not going to do much in spring. Even if, like, the timeline says, like, oh, you know, let's say you get hurt in November, right? Like, you get hurt in November, you're out for the rest of the year. They say, like, oh, you should be full go by spring ball. As a coach, I personally would be like, all right, I understand you're full go. We know you're good. We don't need you to be, you know, going full bore in spring practice when in 6 months' time we'll start fall camp, and that's when we really need to, like, get the ball rolling. Like, there is such a gap between spring and when the season starts that's what I guess what I'm saying is I don't think they should cancel them. I think they're fine to have, and like you said, people are going to tamper anyways. But you know, some of the people who are like getting like greatly upset, I'm like, oh, like, I get you, just like you love your team and you want to see like maybe some freshmen that came in early or this transfer, that transfer, whatever it is, but you're just not missing out on, get like what you think you are. You
know, yeah, I think like people are, maybe this is the last thing I'll say about it is, I think mainly the people who are upset about it are upset about like you said, the event, like, because the game itself is not the most exciting thing. They're upset that they can't go to the stadium in April and hang out with their buddies and maybe tailgate, maybe go out after the stadium like they would a game day and hang out with their buddies at the bar across the street. I think all of that is a valid reason for the people who are like, man, I was really hoping to see the strong safety battle this year. The two positions wide open. It's like, right. No. No.
And but... I should have said before I started my rant on spring games that there was a spring game I had to work one time that it downpoured the entire time. And I thought I was going to get pneumonia because I kid you not, Diego, you could not see the field from the camera. I was filming on the sideline and you could not see the field. It was raining so hard. And I was like, I have a itch to scratch with spring football because I've showed up before and then they were just like, oh, we're actually canceling the practice today and we're going to go to Cracker Barrel, something like that, and get everyone breakfast. And then I didn't get the invite. And I was like, so you made me get up at 5 a.m. and come all the way down here and I get ready to start filming. And then I see all the players celebrating and run off the field. And you're like, oh yeah, we forgot to tell you. So I have issues with, I'm a spring hater when it comes to football.
That's fire. But you know what? I don't hate Zuch. I don't hate the list. Is one of my favorites. I mean, this has just been a great segment. It's been a great segment. The list, as always, you know, like, I'm not going to lie, like, the Burnerverse, it's just become a little mainstream, okay? So, from now on, I will be referring to it as the BV. Because if you don't, if I have to explain to you what it is, it's just not in it. I've been reading some stuff, the whole Mary Kate situation. It's just not. It was a weird thing to talk about. Like, I don't know. Because that's all I'll say about that. We're not going to even go there with the Mary Kate jokes because we have true BV heat and tweets that are awesome. As always, this is the list where we find awesome tweets. We don't support, though we don't condemn these tweets. They're somewhere in the middle. We are just reporters reporting to you guys what the tweets that we see and why we enjoy the X, the Everything app. Mainly only because I enjoy it because I've tailored my algorithm to cut out a lot of the BS, unfortunately. Is just straight.
You have to these days.
You have to. You have to. I have so many accounts muted on the X. It's like, I don't care. Oh my gosh. The politics on that app has just been warped. Oh, well, Zeus, you're going to have to go first. This is the first time in Settle Down history that someone has had a brain fart so bad trying to pull up their tweets that their iPhone is now unavailable for a minute. So, Zeus, you are up first.
So I will start. I have a few. My first one comes from Karen McGee, who I've seen a lot of his or her tweets. We don't know who is behind this account. I don't believe that the woman in the profile picture is actually them. But Pro Football Focus College tweeted a video of the combine, and it says Arkansas DL Landon Jackson jumped 40.5, had a 40.5 vertical at 6'6", 270 pounds. And this person quote tweeted it. And I believe they're an Arkansas fan. I think. Oh, maybe Nebraska. And the link in their profile is to burnerverse.com, which I didn't know was a thing. And I'm going to have to check that out now. Burnerverse.com. But she said, athletes with alpaca flock to Arkansas like Polynesians to Oregon. List.
Alopecia?
Alopecia, yes.
Oh, no.
And it's this yes, guy.
No. Oh, man. That's just terrible. Mean. That's terrible.
And then I have Kansas Football tweeted, the first seed has been installed in the boot. So I'm guessing they're doing some add-ons to their stadium. And this guy tweeted, sorry, but that little bar ain't holding those Kansas girls.
Oh, that was one of mine. That was one of mine by Forrest Feinbaum. Fire and BV name. Forrest
Feinbaum. Wait, is he?
He's,
this
just
might
says,
actually be him, because he called into the Feinbaum show from Missouri.
Oh my gosh. So, been a Tiger fan since 59. Oven cleaner for 20 years. Mall Santa for 10 years. 6 consecutive Express Liquor Customer of the Year. No, this is... If this guy's real, this guy is insane. Yes. Oh my goodness. This is just, this is hilarious.
And speaking of the Mary-Kate, a lot of those tweets have gotten deleted because I think some people are like, we have taken this way too far. But, and then, where did it go? Where did it go? Oh, you know what? Actually, this one was on TikTok, and it was, so you know how, like, in the combine, like, the last person to do that drill where you, like, kind of run back and forth and are catching the football. When the last person does it, like everyone else who's at the combine runs with them.
Yes.
Well, it was the running backs doing that. And somebody commented, I can tell you right now that Cam Scadabo is in the very last spot. Like, okay. We know what you mean there. There are some other ones that Cam Scadabo was mentioned, and we will not repeat those on here because it took things incredibly too far. But the Burnerverse is about to heat back up with college basketball. There are some, there are some
Big
people
East
in the
Twitter, Big East Twitter, man. People are about to feel the wrath of Big East Twitter. But no, Zuch, I got a couple. I have two, and actually, I had three, and one of them was the Forrest Feinbaum tweet. But the first one, actually, there was something big that happened this weekend. John Cena turned heel. Yeah. So it was crazy. John Cena is a bad guy now. First one,
take your banter.
From,
if you need us, we are here for you.
Yes,
you have not posted since that moment.
He has not, and it's actually getting quite worrisome for Baker. But the first one comes from at WrestleClips, and it says, heel John Cena to a random Make-A-Wish kid. And it is just the video of Brock Lesnar throwing someone down a flight of stairs in a wheelchair.
I have one I forgot about. Nope.
It might be this one, Zuch. And this is where I have to reiterate, like, we do not write these tweets. We chuckle because there's humor in it, but like, we do not write these tweets. And it's by at Michael Rainey, and he tweeted, the John Cena heel turn is a government psyop designed to radicalize the special needs community.
Okay. Yeah, that's... you know, just... wrestling mixing into the Burnerverse needs to... I saw... Speaking of that...
Like Shane
Gillis. Yeah, well... and I don't remember who I sent it to. I believe I sent it to y'all. But we send a lot of stuff to each other, so I couldn't find it just now. The person who said that after John Cena turned into a bad guy said all the Make-A-Wish kids that John Cena helped just turned into dust, Thanos style. That was a that was a good one too.
That's good.
And I have to admit, I was watching it live. I was like, oh shit, Elimination Chamber's on tonight. I'm kind of just sitting around hanging out with the dogs. I'll throw it on. And I threw it on, like, kind of right when that match started. I was like, oh, I'll see, like, what's going on with this. John Cena will probably win. Didn't expect that. It was really cool. The crowd reactions are some of the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. The videos of the kids crying on TikTok are – it's just funny. You just, like, see those kids just – you remember being a kid like that and not fully understanding – that it is a scripted TV show and hating certain people. That's why we just need to know. It doesn't have to be your reaction, Baker Banter, but we need to know you're okay because You, if all I'm saying is if Roman Reigns had been there instead of The Rock, that would not have been good for Baker because I've seen some videos of him in regards to Roman Reigns, and let's just say he is not a fan. He is probably his biggest hater.
Yeah, no, I mean, Baker, I don't think he's ever. It's been about 5 days since he's posted. It's been a while since he's gone 5 days without posting. He might be done with WWE forever. Honestly, but yeah, like you said, like Baker, just make a video, even if it's like a branded post, like it's like a DoorDash or like Raising Cane's, like one of those like weird like ads, you know, just like do something to show the people you're okay, Baker. Or Derek, or
Yep, he
Derek.
put his predictions on there, and we have not heard from him since. So he was already dealing with the Chiefs loss. He was not happy when that happened, but we're here for you if you need it.
We are. And you know what I'm here for, Zooch? We are almost at the end of our show. We are doing the blind rankings again. And Zooch, you are the ones who have brought the topic for the blind rankings today.
I have. So today we're doing head coaches who have been hired since 2010. And I didn't keep anybody on here who is still an active coach. I didn't keep anyone who, like Nick Saban's not on here, for example, because it's not like that. I don't like doing our blind rankings to where we'll throw in an occasional if there's like a close one. Maybe like Heisman winning quarterbacks or something where there's an argument. Like if, I didn't want to throw Nick Saban in there early and you'd be like, oh, obviously he's number one. And I didn't want to throw him in there late and you have to put him at four when you know he's number one. So are you ready for these
Yes,
five
the only
fellas?
question I have, am I ranking them number one is the best coach out of these coaches you're about to name?
Yes, like who you
And number
would.
five is the worst coach that I would not least want coaching my team.
Yep, and I'm going to give you the team they were at because a couple of them were at, or most of them were at different teams. So I'm going to give
So
you
I get
that
that version
team.
of that coach, and I get that version
Yes.
of that coach. Okay, I'm ready. Hit me.
Okay. So number one, or the first coach is Gus Malzahn at Auburn.
I think he's a perfect three. I really
Three.
do. He's solid. He's able to beat Bama a couple times, made a natty, never seemed to like get the humongous win, but he was stacking up a bunch of great wins. Not good wins. He was stacking up great wins
He
at
was
Auburn.
great
He was
at
the Saban
against
killer. Yeah.
Saban.
And that's why I have him at three. I think there's a couple of guys that are going to be better. Maybe I should have put him at two. But I think three is a good guy spot for Gus Malzahn.
Okay. Second coach, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma.
I will have put Lincoln Riley at four.
Lincoln Riley at four, so Gus Malzahn three.
No,
Oh.
wait. Yes, I will put Oklahoma Lincoln Riley at four because I want Auburn Gus Malzahn. I don't want this UCF version of Gus. That
No UCF Gus.
I want the 2013 Kick Six Gus Malzahn because you said it was anything. Sorry, Sooner Nation. Gus Malzahn has been closer to a national championship than Lincoln Riley,
Yeah,
and
that's
with
completely fair.
Oklahoma Lincoln Riley, guess what? I will know. Guess what? I know I will never have, which is going to, I think, allow me to get my program. Look, Lincoln Riley will get your program elite fast. Oklahoma Lincoln Riley. You will be always in the national contention. You'll never have a defense. You
Yeah.
can you will always be the bridesmaid, not the bride, with Oklahoma prime Lincoln Riley, because your defense won't be able to stop anyone. So
Yeah.
Lincoln Riley at four.
Okay. The third coach on this list, this is where I think it kind of gets pretty interesting. He has an interesting resume. Coach O at LSU.
Well, I want him. You know, he does have an interesting resume. LSU coach O. Ah, man, this is gonna get. I'm gonna get a lot of shit from people, but I'm gonna put him at five. I
Five. I mean, if he hadn't
am.
had like the best team ever, then
That's that's my mindset. You know, he had the best team ever, and he had an offensive coordinator who's coaching in the NFL now, Joe Brady. Like,
yeah.
I like Coach O. Maybe I ranked Gus Malzahn a little bit too high, but no, I'm not hating this so far. So
yeah, no, I completely agree. I don't hate it at all.
Coach O at five. So I have my one and my two spot open still, which I love.
You have it. So the next coach, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
Oh, I don't like this. No. I mean, he's two, but I hate that.
You hate Brian Kelly. So you have Kelly.
Kelly, Malzahn, Riley. Oh, I would probably, just as it stands now, bump Malzahn and Riley up one, slide Kelly into that four just ahead of Coach O.
I like all those because I think, you know, I mean, Gus Malzahn had some.
I think Gus Malzahn gets overhated. I think he gets overhated. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a Saban killer.
Yeah, I mean, like, to me, he has done. I understand that Gene Chizik won a national championship. Gus Malzahn is the best coach Auburn has had since, like, Pat Dye. Like, I think he was better than Tommy Tupperville. I think he was.
So Gene Chizik stood there like an idiot with his floppy haircut and like rode Cam Newton's behind the entire year. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And didn't he also have a prime Will Muschamp coaching his defense?
I believe, was that Will Muschamp that year? Will Muschamp has coached like every at Auburn at some point. I want to say he was either there or Texas at that time, but yeah, it was around that time that he did have. And Gus Malzahn was his offensive coordinator the Cam Newton year. I know another that for a
to,
fact.
Another reason to choose Malzahn.
So,
all right, who is my number one coach?
It makes your number one. Your number one head coach is Brian Harsin at Boise State.
Yes, that's why he was my coach. Heck yeah! If I want my team. Hey, I will. Oh man, that's really bad. Harsin's a good coach. I'd have Harsin over Brian Kelly. This is weird. I'd have Kelly over Coach O. Harsin over Kelly, but Coach O over Harsin in just like a circle.
No, I like this one because they're all. I think you with. Any of those coaches, maybe outside of Coach O, even though out of all of them, he's the only one who won an out. It sounds weird. I know he's the only one who won a national championship. But I think you could make an argument for ranking those coaches anywhere from 1 to 5, like in any order you could possibly make.
Lincoln Riley, like everything about his regular season play tells you he should be the number one pick. Right. But it's almost like, you know, there's never the ceiling with like the other coaches. It's like, oh, maybe they can bust through. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. It was fun to look at through some of the, I was like considering throwing like Chad Morris on there, but I was like, no, like that's an obvious, like, I didn't want to do the thing where like he gets thrown on then you're like, oh, well, he's like, if you
don't know, you have to do another one where it's like the silly version. Cause then you know which ones are coming. Like, kind of like how I did last week. It was just average quarterbacks since the year 2000.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I mean, I guess you would consider all those coaches. Coaching is such a weird, I know I was thinking about this. This last thing I'll say, we're getting close to an hour. It was a fast hour. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Outside of the NFL and college football, so I'm talking like baseball managers, NBA head coaches, NHL head coaches. Do you think those guys take that job knowing, unless you have like Steve Kerr type success, right? Steve Kerr, Pop are the two I think of in the NBA. They're NHL, I can think of like Mike Sullivan. I don't think of anyone else in the John Cooper with the Lightning. Do you think these coaches take those jobs knowing that you're probably getting fired, even if you win? Like let's say you win a World Series.
I mean, I think
you win a Stanley Cup. You win. I was actually when we do the live.
Dude, you see it in football too. But go for it.
On our next live, I was going to kind of get everyone's opinion on this, and I only did it so far for the NHL. But if you go back up until, and granted, they're still active, John Cooper and Mike Sullivan. Mike Sullivan has 2 Stanley Cups. John Cooper has 2 Stanley Cups. But if you go the last coach, non-active coach, to not get fired by his team, even though he won a Stanley Cup, was Scotty Bowman in 2002 with the Red Wings. Like, if you go, like, you look at it, and, like, there, I'm not talking about, like, obviously Paul Maurice won last year with Florida. I'm, like, looking in, like, long-form terms, right? Like, if you take a job and you, like, let's say you win the Stanley Cup or the Super Bowl, really any of them, like, in your second or third year, and you, like in the next 3 or 4 years, I think college football is a little bit different. And the NFL, like Mike Tomlin's still been there.
But even in the NFL, I think the NFL is a little bit more like, I think pro sports, the demand to win now is bigger. And college, you can kind of like almost like Harsin did, like you can create an environment where you are very successful and everyone around you is successful because. We've talked about it before. The goal sometimes at these programs, like, is not to win the national championship. Like, if you can win your conference and win a New Year's Six bowl game, that's the perfect year you can have. And the pros, it's different. It is win the championship or bust every single year. Or if you're a school, like, let's say if Washington State ever becomes really good, Washington State, if they make the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, maybe make a championship one time in that time. They don't even have to win it, and that guy could literally like become the mayor of Pullman for life.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just – and I don't remember what even made me start thinking about it. I think I was just like sitting around. I was like, that's kind of an interesting thing to me because like even like guys with recent success have, you know – been fired relatively quick. Like I think like Daryl Sutter, he won 2 Stanley Cups. If you like really think about it, he won a Stanley Cup in 2012, one in 2014, and had one or two Western Conference Finals appearances and got fired from the Kings like 2 or 3 years, I believe, after that second Stanley Cup. And you just like the more I looked into it, I was like, the freaking whoever the coach was when the Lakers won in the bubble, he got fired. The Raptors fired
Frank Vogel. Yeah, that's crazy.
The Raptors fired their head coach.
The Bucks fired their head coach, Budenholzer.
Yeah, so I just started thinking about it. I was like, it really doesn't. And that's all I was saying. Like, do you think they know they're going to get fired? Because not you don't like 100% know. Like, I think obviously you go into it thinking like I want to win.
I think they
a
know
bunch of titles. Age. Yeah,
I think so they know the profession they got into, and like they know it's volatile. I think when they're a head coach and they're winning, they don't think they're going to get fired. I think that always blindsides someone. But I think deep down they know the profession they got into, and they know that head coach with the big bucks comes the big responsibilities.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, and I really want to look at the NFL one because. That one's going to be real. And like, obviously, like, Andy Reid's not going to get fired. There's no chance he gets fired anytime soon, even if they were like bad next year, the next couple years. But I mean, shit, Nick Sirianni was like on the hot seat.
I know.
To this year and was just at it. Like, granted, they didn't win, but he was on the hot seat because of the end to the 2023-2024. Season in which they still made the playoffs. Like, yeah, I understand it kind of went off the rails. But yeah, it's just a very interesting thing that I'm going to put some work into, like looking at you know, which coaches have won a title. And I'm going to kind of get an average, I guess, is how I'm going to do it of, all right, Coach A won a title this year. And normally guys who have two aren't on this list that like I have in my head. Like I said, the Pops, like Steve Kerr isn't going to be on that list. Andy Reid. Like, and I couldn't remember off the top of my head. Did Belichick get fired or did he resign?
I think it was mutually parted ways.
But it was like, we're not. Yeah. It's a very interesting thing that I'm going to kick up. So people, next time we do our live, I would like to hear your thoughts on this. Cause I'm like, just thinking about, and like, I don't know the exact timeline, but just thinking about certain coaches who have won and when they weren't at that team anymore, I really want to say a title buys you about 3 or 4 years. And I understand that sometimes I think there's different ways to win a title, I guess. Mainly football's a little bit different to me and kind of basketball, but hockey, I guess, and baseball, and I would say basketball too. You see a lot of teams going all in and not, and probably knowing they have a couple guys on that roster that they might have gotten at the deadline that they're not going to be able to re-sign. They're like, well, yeah, we're not going to have the money to re-sign this guy next year. So I'm going to kind of look at that too and be like, oh, like, did this coach get a little more leeway because this team went all in, kind of knowing that they couldn't afford some of their free agents coming up, and he was brought in to win a title, but also to kind of rebuild the franchise. So it's going to be
it definitely will be interesting.
And I guess, so our next show will be a couple weeks, and it'll be
right before Vegas. It'll be right before Vegas.
So
this show,
yeah, maybe I might help Sean that night in getting it all clipped up so we can have it released Thursday morning.
Thursday morning.
So we can get out the kind of like our picks and stuff for the tournament, because he'll be staying at my house because we have to be at the airport at like 4 a.m.
Your sleepover. Sorry.
Yeah. Sleepover. Now he called it slumber party. That's what Cody called it.
Yeah, worse than that. The slumber.
So okay. I might see if he wants to work on that and get it out so we have it, because I want it to be out Thursday, and I'm going to really work Wednesday night on getting some clips out so we get people, as many people as possible, for this settle down bracket and the $50 on roulette or blackjack.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it a little bit more, if you do blackjack, the one difference in blackjack and roulette is you will have to trust me and the fellas on if we hit or stay. So maybe you want roulette.
But that's up to the person. That's where this strategy comes in. But no, it'll be a huge blast. We will be posting pretty much starting whenever this episode releases until March Madness about that bracket challenge. And seriously, have everyone sign up. We're trying to break the amount of people we had last year. Last year, as usual, we had like somewhere in the 50s.
I believe so.
The amount of people. We're gonna try to get that number in the 60s, 70s, 80s this year.
Yeah, and you're filling out a bracket anyway. So just if you see this, tell a couple of your friends to do it. Be like, hey, just throw your freaking ESPN account 49700,000 numbers after that
into a Google form. It'll take 2 seconds to fill out the Google form. Half of you are probably already following. If you're not, it's an Instagram follow. Follow us. Check us out. We're not asking you to sign up for something crazy, but we're excited. We're really, really excited. So
it's a great time of the year. It is a great time of the year.
Zooch. Anything else?
Nothing else. We'll be good next week. Because I was thinking of weekly shows. We might come in and maybe I'll throw like a kind of how I feel about BSU's chances for our BSU listeners on if we like don't win the Mountain West and we're kind of waiting on that at-large thing, maybe I'll kind of throw something in there to kind of, because we usually have quite a few Boise people who join the bracket thing. It's kind of easy to spread word of mouth here. And then I believe on our last show before the tournament that Sean and Cody will both be on as
talking. Well, that'll be our tournament pick show. So that's what you guys will have to look forward to, is that all of our official picks will be in, you know, barring unless, okay, if Boise's in that first four game Wednesday night or Tuesday night when we record, that could change what I do. But nevertheless, that was an awesome show, and we will see you in 2 weeks.